Jeremiah 23 tonight, and God here is, again, the people are about to go into captivity under Nebuchadnezzar into Babylon, and one of the areas where God is rebuking His people is He's now setting aside time here at the beginning of this chapter to rebuke the pastors. And you say, well, how can that be an Old Testament word? Well, the word pastor is the same as the New Testament word. It means shepherd. They're the same word, essentially, just synonyms. And so here in verse 1, the Bible says, "Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and I will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord." So notice he says, shepherds that shall feed them. And that's our title tonight. Lord, I pray for your wisdom, and that you'd use your word in our lives this evening. Encourage us through it. And guide us and meet with us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So notice that God here is rebuking the shepherds or the pastors over his people. And the number one controversy that he has with them is that they haven't been feeding the people, which is what a shepherd does. He feeds his sheep and watches over them, as it says there. And then he reminds them that one day, the remnant will be brought back to the fold. And that's expanded upon in Isaiah 10. So if we could turn over there. But God is not only rebuking the pastors, but he's simultaneously reminding Israel that someday in the future, and that's yet in the future, it's yet to come, the remnant will be restored back to their land. And it looks like, even during the kingdom age, based on this passage, that there will still be the preaching of God's word, which is quite beautiful. But remember, the kingdom doesn't just have us there in our new bodies, but it has all of these people that are humans, if you will, and been multiplying and multiplying and multiplying. And so they will still be fed God's word during the kingdom age, which is quite a beautiful thought. But here in Isaiah 10, down to verse 20, God reminds us about this remnant that he's talking about. He says, "It shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and such as are escaped of the house of Jacob shall no more again stay upon him that smote them, but shall stay upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel in truth. The remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. Though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return. The consumption decreed shall overflow with righteousness. For the Lord God of hosts shall make a consumption even determined in the midst of all the land." So God here prophesies that there will be this consumption and that Israel's numbers will be diminished, which has already occurred, of course. But then he reminds them that the remnant, those who survive the tribulation period, will be brought back together, given their land that they've been waiting for literally thousands of years, because they never possessed all of it. They only possessed part of it. They will be given all of it. And as we've seen many times, Jesus Christ will sit on the throne of David and rule and reign from Jerusalem over the Israel that has been recovered. And this is talked about a lot in Hebrews as well. But tonight I just want to focus on what he's telling the shepherds and what he's saying about the shepherds. Notice in verse 4 of our passage it says, "And I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them." So, As we've seen in the New Testament, and we'll look at the Scriptures again, the Word of God is powerful. And that needs to be the premise of every pastor's ministry, even Old Testament. And the shepherds, as we saw, they lost that focus of giving people the Word of God, not understanding the power of the Word of God to change lives. And interestingly enough, if you go to 1 Peter chapter 5, if you'll remember when Peter was by the seashore after he backslid a little bit and said, "I go a fishing," Jesus Christ then prepared a meal, sat them all down, and we all know the interchange there where he said, "Do you love me?" And Peter said, "I love you." And every time Jesus said, "Feed my sheep or feed my lambs." Now we get decades later, God actually writes epistles through Peter. And in his first epistle, verse 1, chapter 5, verse 1, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder." Now the word elder here is another title for the pastor or the shepherd. But notice what he says, verse 2, number 1, "Feed the flock of God." So obviously Peter was listening at the seashore when Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep, feed my lambs." Peter now is the older apostle, about to reach the end of his life, and he's writing to elders or pastors and says, "Guys, number 1, feed the flock of God. Feed them the word of God." And if you go back to Acts 20, the apostle Paul, Acts chapter 20, verse 27, he also emphasized the importance of giving God's people God's word. Notice Acts chapter 20 and verse 27. The Bible says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Here he's speaking to the elders at Ephesus. So he's speaking again to the pastors. He's about to leave the church in their care. He says in verse 28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock." So he's talking about these elders caring for the flock. And he says, "While I've been with you, I have been feeding you" what? "All the counsel of God." I've been feeding you the word of God. All the counsel of God. I haven't just been focused on one area. I've tried to give you as much as I can of all the doctrines of the Word of God, the practical, the experiential, so forth. As much as I can give you the Word of God, all the counsel. Now, if you go to 2 Timothy, when Paul was now taking the time to write to his preacher boy, if you want to call him that, the one that he was mentoring, which was Timothy, as he's writing to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, look what he says to the man that he trained up to be a pastor, 2 Timothy 4, 2, "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Now does it say to preach stories or illustrations or experiences? No. Preach the word. Why is that? Well, because the word is where the power is. And we'll talk about that. And God says, when I set up my shepherds over my flock in the kingdom age, my shepherds will feed the flock. Now, a shepherd only has one source of food, and that's this book. If you go to 1 Timothy now, just back one book, we will see that, again, Paul makes this very clear, that the elders or the pastors, when they labor, look what they labor in. 1 Timothy 5:17, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." How can you labor in the word and doctrine? Well, if you've never preached, you wouldn't understand what that means. But if you have had to prepare a sermon, you know it's work. It's work. There's a lot of study, a lot of prayer, a lot of preparation. It's work to labor in the word and doctrine. And Paul, again, is writing to who? Timothy. But he's also writing to us, saying the elders labor in word and doctrine. Why is that? Because of the power of the word. Let's go back to our passage, Jeremiah 23. So God here is rebuking the pastors this time. There's going to be a lot of sermons in Jeremiah 23. There's a lot here. But he is rebuking them because they weren't feeding the people. And what resulted was the flock was scattered, driven away. And, of course, they weren't obviously growing in their faith. They were backsliding. They were disobeying because they weren't hearing the word. They weren't being fed the word. Now, it doesn't only come down to that. I hope you don't understand that I'm saying, you know, you can't say, well, if I'm faithful to church, then I won't backslide. Well, it doesn't work like that. or the opposite isn't true. If I don't go to church, I'm completely out of the will of God. But it's a huge part of it. And that's what God is emphasizing. My shepherds, he says, my shepherds will feed the flock. Why? Because of the power of the word. Notice the result, verse 4. After he sets up shepherds and feeds them, look at the result. They'll fear no more. They won't be dismayed. And they won't be lacking. Now that's attributing a lot of power to feeding the flock, isn't it? And that's exactly what God says will happen, is when I set up my shepherds, and when they feed the flock, the word of God, look what's going to happen. No more fear, they won't be dismayed, which means similar to fear, but kind of confused, anxious, and then they won't be lacking. That's attributing a lot of power to the word of God, is it not? The reason for that is because the word of God is powerful. Amen. While you're in Jeremiah 23, and we're going to talk now a little bit about what the word of God does in our lives, look at down to verse 29, which we will get to eventually. But look what God says. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? That's attributing a lot of power to the word of God. Because we know that both fire and a hammer have some power, don't they? They do different things, but there's power there. One has the power of burning things up in heat. The other one, of course, has the power of the force of the hammer. God's saying, that's my word. My word is like that. My word's like a fire. My word's like a hammer. And the word of God, the powerful word of God, has the power to do great things in our lives. And that is why the shepherds were commanded to feed God's people God's word. So I want to take just a few moments and look at some of these things that the Word does for us. And I'll do it in Scripture order to make it easier. So go to Psalm 19, and we'll go first to our song, one of our songs that we sing on Sunday mornings. So most of you are going to be very familiar with a couple of verses, Psalm 19, verses 7 and 8. Look what it says. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So that tells us that the Word of God has the power to give us wisdom. Look at verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. So that says that the Word of God has the power to give us joy. And then it goes on to say, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. So the Word of God has the power to give us enlightenment. And that's just in two verses. Now we'll go to the chapter that talks more about the word than any other chapter, which is 119. Yep, let's turn there. Say which verse. Let's start at 9. Just quickly look at a couple of scriptures in Psalm 119 that talk about what the word can do in our lives. Look at verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. That's a lot of power. That says if we'll take heed to the word, it can cleanse our way, our direction. So while we're in 119, go over to 105. I know most of you already have this one memorized. What's it say? The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Everybody's looking for direction. Everybody's looking to know the way to go. God says his word has the power to give us that direction, to be that light, to show us the way we're supposed to go. And then 165 now. 119, 165. Everybody's looking for peace. Look what it says. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. The Lord attributes not only a lot of power to his word, but he shows us all that the Word of God can do in our lives. How it can truly help us to be a better Christian for God. So let's look at a couple New Testament scriptures. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. And then we'll look at Romans chapter 15. But again, why was it so important that the shepherds feed the flock, the Word of God? Well, we're finding out. Because it has the power to literally change our lives. Notice Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's a lot of power. The word of God can build our faith. And then one of my favorites, Romans 15, verse 4, because it's actually talking about the Old Testament, which is a reminder to church-age pastors that you can't just only preach the New Testament. You need to preach the Old Testament too. Why? Because look at chapter 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, so that's pointing us back to the Old Testament, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Patience, comfort, and hope. And faith, and joy, and wisdom, and peace. David said in Psalm 119:99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. That's just a sampling. So why was it so critical? Because the word is so critical in our walk. And the shepherds of Israel, the pastors of Israel, were not feeding God's people God's word. God said in the New Testament age, as we get to the end times, it's exactly what would happen. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, tickle my ears. Don't tell me the truth. Tickle my ears. Just like what they were saying to Isaiah, preach unto us smooth things. I heard someone say once that a pastor's job is to give people not what they want, but what they need. And those two aren't always the same thing, are they? Sometimes we need to be, as they say, skinned alive by the word. It's not pleasant, but it's good for our Christian lives. And God is rebuking these pastors. Look what happened, verse 2. They're scattered, they're driven away, not visited. He says, what I'm going to do to you pastors is I'm going to visit upon you the evil of your doings. That's pretty heavy. And one day I'm going to gather my remnant. And when I do, I'm going to set up shepherds, verse 4, and over them which shall feed them. My shepherds are going to feed God's people. And when that happens, they'll fear no more. They will no longer be dismayed, and they won't be lacking, saith the Lord. So he's revealing to us tonight the power of shepherds feeding God's people, God's word. And we'll look at one other passage over in Hebrews chapter 13. Because I know we're looking at Jeremiah, which is Old Testament, but according to the New Testament, that same accountability is still imposed upon God's shepherds. Notice Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. Probably one of the most humbling verses for every pastor. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. And that's not why we came to this verse, by the way, to remind everybody to obey their pastor. No, look at the rest of it. For they watch for your souls as they that must give account. There's the sobering part. They that must give account. That they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. So just as God held the Old Testament pastors accountable for not feeding God's sheep, God will hold New Testament pastors accountable for not feeding God's sheep. Which is why this is number one. Amen? Has to be. Has to be. As he told Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word and trust in the power of the word to change lives, because it will. Hallelujah. So God says, I will give them shepherds which shall feed them. And he expects the same in the New Testament. And it's such a really a simple concept, if churches would just grasp it. But somewhere along the way, within the past 50 years, churches just got this bug about pleasing the people and trying to give the people what they want, what we call user-friendly churches. And yeah, initially it was things like a coffee bar and more comfortable chairs and all that, and things on the screen. But then it became, well, okay, we'll give you all that, but they don't want to hear about hell. They don't want to hear about the consequences of disobedience and chastisement. they want to hear about the love of God. They want to hear things that make them feel good. And so that's what's happened, is now people go to church to hear what they want to hear. And sadly, that's not what makes us grow often. It's when we hear what we don't want to hear that we often then get things straightened out in our own lives. So praise God for this reminder. God said He would set them up shepherds which would feed them. Let's